This is a paid message from GoFundMe. Meet Juan Naula. When his son was hospitalized for a viral infection, Juan started a GoFundMe to pay for medical expenses.
It was $5,000 to pay the bill for my son, and I needed only 22 hours. It was amazing. People really trust on GoFundMe.
How did Juan raise $5,000 in less than a day? He posted a short video on GoFundMe, telling his story in 30 seconds.
30 seconds. Be specific, be quick, and tell what are you going to be using the funds for. I was nervous to do it because it doesn't feel okay to ask money, but you shouldn't be nervous. Sometimes you just have to do it and see the results. We were able to save my son's life. Thanks to GoFundMe that we still have my son with us.
Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This message reflects one person's experience.
The Claire Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Now, in recent years, humanitarian workers have been accused of spreading disease, diverting aid to migrants and distributing poisoned food. This increase in misinformation has led to aid organisations fearing for the safety of their workers, saying that trust and truth is as essential as food and shelter in an emergency. I'm joined by Charlotte Lindsay, who's the editor and author of the World Disasters Report. Charlotte, you're welcome to the programme.
Thank you very much for having me.
So I mentioned some of the examples of dangerous misinformation, and I think those examples really help us to understand what you are worried about here. Let's talk in more detail about some of those examples that I touched on. What happened during the floods in Spain in 2024, which is very recent?
Yes. So the World Disaster Report looks at many different crises, disasters across the world. One of those was Valencia in Spain and the floodings in 2024, which left, sadly, 236 people dead. And what happened during the crisis was when the National Red Cross Society, the Spanish Red Cross, was trying to respond, it then suddenly got hit online with huge volumes of harmful messages that were saying it was not responding on the ground, that they were diverting funds that were being received for the Valencian response. They were diverting those to international crises or migrants, and that the Red Cross was not doing anything on the ground, which of course led to huge fear on the ground by both volunteers, but also the people that were affected, because they were clearly going through a huge catastrophe, lives lost, homes lost, livelihoods lost. And yet what they were hearing online was that there was nobody helping them.
And how or why, do you know, did that happen?
What we see in disasters and crises, humanitarian crises around the world today, is this is not a phenomenon which is specific to a context or a region. This is happening in so many contexts and regions across the world. We have more than 35 national societies for the Red Cross and Red Crescent that actually contributed to the report, as well as many other organizations. I think the why is complex. It depends on which context you're in. But I think generally what you can say is that there's a breakdown in trust. And some of that is an intentional aim online to undermine trust in institutions, including humanitarian organizations. Some of it is part of trying to win the narrative if related to conflicts or violence. And also there are just huge volumes of actors that can now get in, engage online around humanitarian crises and have their say based around what they feel is their ideology, their belief in what is happening on the ground, and also different thematics that they actually want to advocate for. Mm-hmm. But you see a range of actors, from state actors to disinformation for hire or companies, and everything in between, that are really getting involved. Yep. Today, what's new is it's targeting humanitarian action.
Yes, and we'll talk about the real world impacts of that. But I just want to go to another example of that in South Sudan and the poisoned food. I mean, once that gets out there and once that rumour gets a sort of a critical mass behind it, it really cripples the work that aid workers can do, right? Because nobody wants what you're supplying.
Absolutely. Those sorts of harmful narratives, they really influence how communities perceive risk and how they respond during an emergency. not only just how they prepare, but also it can fuel denial or panic or resistance. And that ultimately undermines life-saving interventions. And I think that when communities on the ground do not know who to trust, and where there's a blurring of the line between fact and fiction, this can have serious life-saving risks.
Yep. And then on the other side of that, there are real-world risks for aid workers. And you make the point in this report that sometimes those risks can be life-threatening for these aid workers.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, we've seen examples where a humanitarian organization, including the National Red Cross or Red Crescent Society, their vehicles have been stoned based on, an influencer's tweet, which has falsely alleged something. And mobs and groups of people have come forward. They've stoned their vehicles or stoned the buildings. And that's hugely distressing and a high risk for the volunteers and staff in those vehicles and buildings, or indeed on the ground trying to respond to a crisis. Because firstly, as a humanitarian, you're not able to respond, and that's what you're there for. You're there to try to save lives. And then secondly, you fear what will happen, whether it will escalate further and whether it can be a risk and a threat to your own life.
And you say in the report that the ideas of neutrality and impartiality are being misunderstood, I'm sure deliberately in some cases, but not in others. Can you explain what you mean?
Yeah, so neutrality and humanity and impartiality are the sort of core principles of principled humanitarian response. Neutrality is really about not taking sides and not entering into controversy. What you see today is actually that position itself, not taking sides, is seen as a position and it's instrumentalized. That's highly problematic, because if you don't have that, the trust in those principles, then you don't have trust in the actors that are there to respond. Some of that is really deliberate intention to undermine trust in institutions, and others it's just believing what some of those narratives are and fearing what would happen if you do trust the organization. So I think today what we're really calling for is better respect for principled humanitarian action, making sure that trusted, verifiable information is accessible for populations in need.
But how do you affect that change? Like, how do you stop this if you have invested state actors or others who are willing and ready and have armies of people to push out these narratives? It's very difficult to know how you stop it.
Yes, I think the risk is that you can be overwhelmed by just the scale of what is there. But what the report, which is the flagship report of the International Federation of Red Cross and Red Crescent Societies, this World Disaster Report provides a lot of asks, recommendations, and actions that really can be taken, targeted towards the humanitarian sector, governments, community leaders, as well as technology platforms, and looking at how we can enhance information resilience and organizational resilience to be able to better detect and respond to harmful information against the humanitarian sector, but also looking at how we should be coordinating and collaborating across different sectors, so within the humanitarian sector, but across other sectors, really to be able to try to address harmful information in humanitarian crises, because no one actor is going to be able to do this alone.
Charlotte, thank you for telling us about the report today and about the difficulties and threats that humanitarian workers face around the world. That's Charlotte Lindsay, who is the editor and author of the World Disasters Report. Now
The Claire Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.